Louder with Crowder is brought to you in part by CrowderShop.com. Support the fight. Go buy some merchandise at the shop. It's a great conversation starter and irritates all the right people. CrowderShop.com.
Nobody likes my slurp. Fine. Ahoy, everybody. Welcome to the show. Steven is actually stuck in Oklahoma City, and there is terrible weather going on here, and I didn't even have power this morning. I had to brush my teeth by candlelight. So that's why today we're going to be streaming on Mug Club only. But you guys are in for a real treat. This is a show that has never been seen. It was pre-taped almost a year ago when the riots first started. You remember the good old days. And so you'll notice some friends in the studio, like Audio Wade and our old pal Reg. For those of you who have never seen an Ash Wednesday, this is a show where Steven and the guys take a break from talking politics and world events and instead sit back, relax with a cigar, and answer casual questions from fans. Again, this is never before seen footage. You're going to like it. We're really sorry about today, but this is a nice little bonus that you get to watch. Enjoy it. I know I will.
Hello. You don't hear the sound of the slurp this morning.
That's right.
It's the sound of delicious cigars.
Thank Ash Wednesday. God.
I think, just in case we were worried about being demonetized, I'm pretty sure this goes against YouTube and Facebook's anti-tobacco policy. Half-Asian Bill Richmond is here. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Glad to be here.
Violating it himself. Look at him. He is the law. Reg is here in the chair. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Except for my ankle that you snapped earlier.
That's true. I did snap some grappling this morning, and he was resisting. Stop resisting!
Come on, Reg.
And Reg kept saying, "But I didn't do nothing." I was like, "We're in class. What are you talking about?" Quarterback Garrett is here. Audio Wade. Ash Wednesday, for people who don't remember from the Mug Club quarantine month, this used to always be behind the paywall. You can send in your video questions, your requests at louderwithcrowder.com/ask. And of course, today I am wearing the David Dorn shirt, Officer David Dorn. A lot of people may have forgotten. Do we have a pairing?
We do have a pairing
of the week.
It's okay, from Doug Myers.
Doug Myers.
It's a Brick House Maduro. And Michter's bourbon. I don't drink a lot of bourbon.
No, you're more of a Colt 45 man.
Exactly. You know me.
Does it work every time?
Every time.
Every time. So does being bisexual.
It would.
Billy D. Williams. Isn't he? No.
No.
Is that?
I think that got misreported.
Yeah. Is that libel or slander?
I don't think
he didn't know what year he was in.
Has conclusively proved it one way or the other. If I'm going to lawyer this answer for him, there you go. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Not all homosexuals wear capes. So let's go to our. But in this case, he does.
Some do.
Yeah, some do.
Reg doesn't look like he's having a good time. He looks very uncomfortable.
Hey,
Let's go to the first question. This is just where, listen, this is a little more relaxed for people who sometimes have years into politics, but this is where we just, we like to have a laugh, maybe. Let's see what the first question is from you.
What are some good cigars for beginners to try? And also, what is your favorite cigar?
Oh, people keep trying to ask that because they keep trying to find out. You know what the problem
you're baiting
is?
Them.
There is a shortage of one of my favorite cigars that I didn't reveal to anyone except Michael Knowles.
Ooh.
So I think he's hoarding it like Donkey Kong in the level when you go back in and it's the banana hoard.
Yeah.
I think that's what Michael Knowles is doing.
We know what hoard means.
Yeah. But I wanted to create a visual.
Yeah. It's reference to the 1990s.
I appreciate it. I can see him cackling over his hoard.
Yeah, I can see him cackling over his hoard. All elitist, you know. Yeah. And taking my lowly non-Cuban cigars and putting them next to his Cuban. You know, Cubans are really better. Cuban cigars, it's like a woman getting a breast reduction. It's like slapping God in the face. Because Cuba has the best soil, and it has an unbelievable flavor, but the quality control sucks because of communists.
Commies, man.
Most of the time, you're not going to get something that's very high quality from Cuba. I won't give you all of my favorites, but I will say this as we talk about cigars, and we always get someone, by the way, who gets mad on Instagram. Why are you being a bad example for kids smoking cigars? Why are you being a bad example typing on Instagram when you should be watching your kids? Oh, he has a DVD in his mouth.
That's a big mouth.
Not good for the DVD or the kid.
Asking you if he looks funny with that plastic bag on his head, and you're mad about Ash Wednesday.
So, on the beginning cigar, I mean, do you even remember a beginning cigar?
Yeah, you know, the first cigar I really liked actually was, so I started with pipes, was one, it's called Romeo y Julieta, the Reserva Real. A lot of people recommend that folks go with lighter cigars, like Connecticut cigars. I don't know if you guys have Connecticut or if you have the Corojo, because it's a weird label on those cigars. Connecticut is typically lighter. It's grown in the Connecticut River Valley or Ecuador. But here's one thing, there's a little bit of a myth that all light cigars are, or light colored cigars are light in body. That's not necessarily true, and that all dark cigars are really, really heavy. So for example, you have a Rocky Patel 1992. That's a Connecticut Broadleaf wrapper. Now for people who don't know, Connecticut Broadleaf was used as filler in cigarettes and stuff for a long time because it's very rustic. You see how thick that is, and it's kind of veiny. And they thought, this is ugly. No one's going to want to buy this as a wrapper around a cigar, but then they realized that it tastes fantastic.
What does rustic mean in this? Is it says like love on it or what?
No, rustic means it's like what they'll call like toothy. It has like a grit to it. You'll see some veins, and people don't necessarily like the look of it. But Connecticut Broadleaf has a really sweet taste. So that cigar is dark, but that cigar is not very mild.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm
very
enjoying
sweet.
It very much.
Let's try that one. Yeah. And some cigars that are darker are sweeter. So here's what I will say for people looking for cigars. Go in to your local brick and mortar shop, okay, and ask them for something that you would like in your flavor profile. You kind of have a wheel, right? A wheel. I don't know why I did Peter O'Toole. and you have creamy would be kind of one thing, sort of creamy, gentle mouthfeel. Then you have spicy, and that's like cracked pepper, red pepper, peppercorns. Then you have the sweet area. Now that can be kind of chocolate, caramel, toffee, sometimes baking spices in there. And then you sort of have the earthy and leather. And cigars kind of line up in those flavors. People typically describe them in that wheel, and that depends on what the filler, the wrapper, the binder is. You don't need to know all that. Just go in and tell them what you think you'd like. I think I'd like a sweet and spicy cigar. I think I'd like a leathery and creamy cigar, and they should probably be able to give you recommendation. I tend to like things in the profile of full-bodied, spicy. I like to have that wasabi rush in my nose and sweet, and I love cigars with coffee.
Do you think that people's taste in cigars tend to follow their taste in like food or drinks or things like that? Is there some kind of comparison to draw, or is it just, you know, figure out what you like cigar-wise?
Well, in Bill's case, it follows his taste in women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Vain and haggard.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, my wife will...
His wife's an outlier.
Beat you to death.
He settled for a beautiful wife.
I did.
He really wanted the lady at the top of the tower in the Kevin Costner Robin Hood, and instead he ended up with a
That's
10.
That's the one.
You know, I
you poor son of a bitch.
Kevin I'm not going to lie. Actually, it's good that you mentioned my wife, because, you know, I'm usually a pipe tobacco smoker, which she enjoys. Like, I can smoke a pipe.
Aromatic.
I can smoke three pipes. Go to bed, no problem. Like, she's probably snuggling closer, because she enjoys them all. Yeah. But, and I always thought all cigars were negative. Like, she even thought all cigars are negative.
Right.
But as I've kind of tried different ones, and she doesn't smoke cigars, but really, it does impact me. Like, if I know I'm going to be around her, I may choose something that's just going to either depend, like, how much am I going to smoke, like, in terms of size, or even just the scent that comes off of it will impact it. And she was like, I'm surprised. Some of these are actually not so bad.
Some of them can smell really nice. Yeah. Some of them can have a campfire smell. And then some of them, like, cheap cigars. It's funny.
I thought you were talking about wives for a second.
Cheap wives, you know.
Like cheap wives, they smell like Cardi B. So, eau de Cardi. By the way, I still can't really tell Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. I'm not convinced. They're like Olsen twins, but they're the same. But like,
no, they're mother daughter.
Which one? which Olsen twin is the evil one? Do we know?
I'm sorry.
Is the evil?
No,
there's always an evil one.
No, they're both evil.
They're both evil?
Yes. How do you think they got so popular?
How many girls need eating disorders until you change your ways, Mary-Kate and Ashley, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. They know exactly what they're doing. Some cigars smell, some will smell sort of campfire-y, and I remember really clearly when we went down to that protest, when Jean-Guy went down, there was a guy smoking a cigar that day, and it just smelled like weed. And really bad cigars with really young tobacco can smell that way, because what happens is when cigars, they go through a period of aging and fermenting. Something people don't really appreciate with cigars is they'll appreciate this with bourbon. They'll appreciate this with wine. for example, the cigar you're smoking, I think that's about 7 years.
Okay.
Until you get it. 7 years of aging, fermenting, growing. It takes a long time, right? If you're getting a 7-year-age bourbon or 8-year-age bourbon, that's pretty serious. The good thing about cigars, you can taste something that's really high-end, and it might cost you $8, right? Because you're having one cigar. But that process allows a lot of the ammonia, a lot of the sort of undesirable qualities of tobacco to naturally age off. And sort of like when you roast a coffee bean, only it happens more slowly, you get the sweetness in the wrapper. And cigars, a lot of Cubans are this way. If they're green, it'll smell like, it'll have that weedy smell, it'll have that ammonia smell, and sometimes cigars will smell like a cat pissed on your porch. So that's the sign, everyone has their preferences, but that's the sign of a poorly manufactured cigar.
I was wondering, you know, if cat piss was the thing we should be smelling.
It is on the flavor wheel, but it's a very small percentage. Whereas there can be, a lot of people will be surprised, sort of barnyard smell, but not like crap, but a barnyard rustic smell on some cigars that actually ends up tasting sweet. So when you sometimes people smell cigars, like it smells like poop.
Like a tractor supply.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But sometimes it's nice.
One of my favorite smelling cigars is the Punch, the Classico, I think. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the smell of that one in particular. The taste of the, obviously I like the taste, but that one doesn't make whatever room I'm in smell.
It has a really nice room note. Important. And that has a Sumatra wrapper and it has a Connecticut broadleaf binder.
Okay.
And then it has a mix, if I'm not mistaken, of I think it's Honduran filler. Yeah. That's a great cigar.
Mild, middle of the road price, right? I mean,
it's not super mild, actually. It is cheap, though. It is, like, you can get those for $3 if you get the little Coronas, and they're really good. Just from a good example, it comes from a big company.
Yeah.
But that's one of their original cigars. That was a Cuban brand originally. The Cuban Punch is not very good. Mm. And these ones in the Honduras, far better.
Yeah, that was the first cigar I ever smoked.
What, Punch?
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. And they smell nice, and they're I would say this, they're strong in nicotine. There's a difference between nicotine and then full-bodied. So those cigars actually have a decent amount of nicotine, but they don't overwhelm the senses. It's not like, you know, where you get that rush, and you're like, oh, this is, makes my eyes water.
Right.
All right, as much as I would probably, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so if this guy's wanting to start smoking cigars, maybe some tips on, like, how to not have that feeling, that kind of, like, woozy feeling.
Don't inhale, you'll get green. So it's a lot of people don't realize there's one ingredient. It's the original organic product. There is one ingredient only in this, and that's tobacco, period. In a Swisher Sweet or something, I don't know. I have no idea. I think they use paper wrappers, and they use all kinds of weird synthetic binders.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have the same alkalinity as a cigarette, which allows you to inhale it into your lungs. Mm-hmm. A lot of people compare cigars, and I'm not going to get into the health effects, but as far as the effects that you will feel, how often do people have a cigar and they go, I don't feel it, and then they feel it 30 minutes in? Absorbed in your mouth is far slower, whereas a cigarette in your lungs within 30 seconds, that's peak plasma volume, immediate. And it's a rush. And that's a big part of why it's so addictive. Cigarettes, of course, they add like 400 something other chemicals in there to make it more easily absorbed, to make it more potent. They add these accelerants so it continues to burn.
But
that peak plasma volume, that's, for example, why drugs like Xanax can be more addictive than other sedatives, because it just spikes in the brain. And then it's out of your system quickly, and so people want more of it faster. Most people I know who smoke cigars smoke occasionally, or I know, like, people who are really sort of maven smoke like one or two a day. And that's not really the same as cigarette smokers go by packs.
Right.
They roam in packs.
And they do, actually.
Good advice that I got early on to change kind of how I approach cigars was taking your time with it, especially because I'm more sensitive to nicotine. And so as I go through, like, if I'm smoking too quickly, either because just, I'm not paying attention, or I'm drinking at the time or whatever, or I'm with other people and it's just the conversation and naturally you're putting in your mouth more, that'll get me to that, like, I'll have smoked enough in 10 minutes that I really should have stopped after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I could have spread it out and had a better and kind of.
And also, the flavor will be affected because when you over. Yeah. Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Just a dabble, do ya?
Too much crack.
No, I think that was the Grumman crack commercials. Oh. I don't know. I've confused Brill crack and Grumman crack.
Just a dollar crack.
Maybe is it methanclean and Brill crack? I'm not entirely sure, but I know Just a Dabble Do
Right,
You. And that'll change the flavor of a cigar too, because if you smoke it really fast, it'll heat up, and that's where you'll get that sort of tarry, because it gets really wet and overly hot. And that's where a lot of people I get that ashy mouth. Because you're smoking a cigar too fast and you're not getting the flavor. You're at that point inhaling, sucking into your mouth, hopefully not inhaling ash as opposed to freshly burnt leaf. So the general rule is about a puff every minute, 45 seconds to a minute, and take a puff for kind of a double puff, and you should be good to go.
If you're a pipe smoker, that's something to watch, because I, you know, like you, I smoke more pipes than cigars, and so I always find when I go to a cigar, I'm smoking it way too fast.
Like a pipe,
because you don't have to, yeah, the pipes, you really have to keep it lit. That's the nice thing about a cigar is you can pause to talk. Doesn't go out.
But even then, on the flip side, like some of our cigars will go out during the show. Cigarettes almost never. Like you have to leave that thing for a long time.
Yeah.
That's because tobacco by itself doesn't really stay burning for that long, you know? So, but yeah, you add some whatever it is, formaldehyde, acetone, and Clorox. All of a sudden, the parliaments, they stay lit. It's like a mosquito repellent stick.
That's why I have a spoonful of that every night.
Do you?
Yeah, very nice. Formaldehyde.
Spoon of formaldehyde. I just take it from citronella. I figure it's the same thing. Split. And mosquitoes. I am stuck on citronella because mosquitoes don't stick on me. They die as soon as they touch my skin. That's what I do is I just eat the citronella.
Ooh, okay.
So I don't need to
excrete it
yeah.
from your pores.
Now, I'm not the fastest guy when I go to the bathroom.
like garlic.
What do we have as far as...
We have a video question.
A video question. Again, go to loudoutcutter.com/ask. Send your video questions in.
Hey, Crowder. My name is Justin. My question was, what's your way of cheering yourself up when you're feeling down? Because sometimes I don't really exactly know. Sometimes I like playing video games, sometimes I like working out, but I just want to ask you, like, what do you like to do if you are feeling down, you want to cheer yourself up?
Hey, well, his name was Justin.
Justin.
First off, Justin, don't smoke cigars. We do not advocate that anyone underage smoke cigars. Yeah. That's something I think we're going to have a cigar manufacturer on, because now they've put premium handmade cigars under the same category as like cigarettes when they've been trying to keep them out of the hands of minors.
Come on.
These are family-owned businesses. They found out that when they did the study, it's less than 4% of minors had ever smoked a cigar
this. Wow,
Like they might have smoked some, what is it, Gray Owls? Or no, Gray Owl was that crappy Native American film with Pierce Brosnan. Are they White Owls? You know what I'm talking about?
Know, like a Black and Mild.
Black and Mild.
I mean, there are groups of teenagers smoking cigars behind school. So, I mean, it's not that
they got a SEMA.
It takes like an hour.
Quick smoke break. Yeah, I've got this Nicaraguan from AJ Fernandez. What do you got? Mine's a Habano rapper from Espinoza. Queer. He's a fan of Espinoza. Everyone knows he made his best blends when he was under the 601 house brand.
I like these kids.
And they flick this giant, they flick this log at the principal. Go screw yourself, O'Malley. that was $11. okay, let me get to that question. But I will say, this is a perfect example. AJ Fernandez, great story. Cigars have great stories. He sat under the tutelage of a guy named Rabena in Cuba, who used to make the most ideal, he used to make the best tobacco in the world, where actually for the Castros, all the wrappers came from this guy's farm. And now he's spoken out against the nationalization, where he gets to keep 10% of his crop. He doesn't know where the rest of it goes.
Wow.
But this guy, AJ Fernandez, now has his own factory in Nicaragua, and he has his own brands that are really, really good. He's kind of the hot ticket right now in cigars. This is a house brand for the big company, Cigars International, called Diesel. It's inexpensive. It's a Pennsylvania broadleaf wrapper. It's unbelievable, but when you get it, it tastes like nothing. You wait a month, and all of a sudden, it's very sweet.
Huh.
It's got a lot of flavors. Just when it's such a thick wrapper, again, it's already aged, but sometimes with these bigger brands that sell really quickly, they need to get it out, and they don't aging in the box helps it. So this right now is unbelievable, but a month ago, there was no flavor to it.
So we are recommending cigars for when you feel bad?
I do.
Not for Justin.
Not
for Justin.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Video games.
So it's a great question. You know, one, I got to say, you know, like people even talking about the fact that, you know, you've mentioned this on the show before, and I think we've all talked about it at times, where it is impossible to live your life without at times feeling like you need to figure out a way to pick yourself up and, you know, from energy, whether it's dealing with family or work or school or whatever you may be dealing with.
Yeah.
That's a great question. So.
No, it is a great question. And I've talked about, obviously, struggling with depression. I've talked about this in the show because I don't want it to be one of those things where a celebrity kills himself like Heath Ledger, and then all of a sudden comes out and goes, we need to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
So I talk about mental health all the time because I'm crazy. but I do struggle. Some people have a natural proclivity toward being happier. And I've always struggled with that. And so, listen, I can't tell you that I'm happy all the time. But those are good things, having sort of mechanisms in place. So, for example, if playing video games gets your mind off things, that's a good thing for me. Watching movies is helpful. Reading is helpful. Working out is great, not only for mental, not only for physical stimulation, but mentally. When you look at actually endorphins, there's a direct connection between people who exercise regularly, the amount that they exercise, and clearer thinking, better mood. But here's something else that I will say. These are all great things to help, and you should have them. So you should have a routine. If you're feeling down, the worst thing you can do is just give up on everything and sort of stay in bed. So when I was really depressed for a while, my wife was working, going to an office, and I worked from home, I used to get up at 6:30 in the morning, and I'd be gone before she left for work. I've told the story many times, but for people who are new, I used to get up and go out just to go to the gym to come back so she didn't just think I was laying around the house. And then I came back, and I was at this point, I was chasing down contacts, and it's one of those times where for about a year and a half, nothing seemed like it was moving forward, and I was trying to get this show effectively started. And nothing did move forward until I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it in my den.
Do it on your own.
Everyone said, that'll never work. And then I was like, oh, this really isn't going to work.
For a little while.
Do you know that when we first did the show, because it was on radio and I put it online, it got like 8,000 plays. And this was when YouTube, everything was short. Like, keep it shorter.
Right, yeah.
So I remember just saying, well, I guess we're just never going to upload the full podcast. That was a fad. But you know what? Let's just leave it. It's not going to hurt us. No harm, no foul. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, 40,000. Yeah. And then 50,000. Then a couple hundred thousand. Then we get into the millions. But something else that I think a lot of people, and you cannot get this from really secularists. I have to keep this going because it's not a cigarette. Oh, the cigar. I have to get the recipe from AJ. So, he's going to give me his secret blending recipes. Yeah.
Come on, AJ.
Get outside of yourself. A lot of people don't realize this. A quick way to pick yourself up is to find out how you can pick somebody else up. So help someone else, serve somebody else. If you're married, what does your wife need? If you're a parent, what do your kids need? Other people around you invariably can use some help with something. And so sometimes you find yourself in a rut and you don't know how to move forward, but thinking outside of yourself and how you can help someone else move forward creates some inertia. And we know that inherently as Christians, it talks about a servant's heart, it talks about serving others, but a lot of the time people talk about getting help. Yes, you should get help. Yes, you should have a routine, but make a part of that routine helping other people. So I would say it's three things. Routine, gratitudes. Half the time when I say my prayers, it's what maybe some tantric yogist would say, yogi. I have no idea. Would say like, oh, these are my thankful-tudes. I don't know. These are gratitudes that I'll say in prayer. Hey, thank you for my wife. Thank you for this help. Thank you for this breakthrough. Thank you that we have this show. Thank you for the team. Just sit there and be grateful. Count your blessings and then focus on how you can serve somebody else in your life. And if you can't think of anyone who you can serve, if you can't think of anyone who you can help, then that could be the answer as to why you're feeling blue, because you've been so wrapped up in what it is that you want to need for a long time.
That's one of the things I think the gratitude aspect of things, and it doesn't have to be something major, right? You don't have to like go out and donate a bunch of money or go find someone to buy a meal for or something like that. I mean, even just like I try and practice this on a daily basis. One, I have to deal with lawyers all the time, and the nature of the adversarial
system
is, unfortunately, I feel like it's brought on by someone who would have brought this on.
But that's half of our conversation. Is Bill going, you brought this on yourself. I'm like, Bill, it's your job to help me. Go screw yourself. Click.
And then I call back and I'm like, all right, well, this is what I'm going to do. Right. No, but even like if you go to a drive-through and you talk to someone and you're nice to them and you're like, thank you. Or like even just those little moments of like bringing a little bit of joy or treating other people like human beings in your daily interactions at the grocery store. Mm. Hell, let someone get in front of you when you're merging on the highway. Like those are little things where you've put someone else in front of you, someone you'll never see again. And no one will know this but you. But that's the only person that really needs
Or if someone is not using the left lane for passing, ram them off the highway so you've served everybody else.
Exactly. Well, that's a crime against humanity. You're really a hero if you do that.
He who shall remain nameless, but we all know the guy I knew who got a ticket for going slow in the left lane. And he would never live it down. He was all upset. He's like, well, the left lane is not in this state where he was from. He's like, it's not for, it's the fast lane, but it's not for passing. I'm like, you are incorrect.
No.
The left lane on an escalator is for passing, and some people want to debate that, and I don't have tolerance. The left lane on a freeway is absolutely for passing, you bitch, because there is no more bitch ticket than going slow in the left lane.
Pretty bad. I like the term bitch ticket.
It is. It's a bitch ticket.
It's absurd.
No, I think that's true, and you know what? Especially for people out there, if you're a Christian or if you're a conservative, I've always talked about these being in day-to-day interactions. I mean, the change of mind stemmed from just talking with people, you know, at the gym, having these interactions, and trying to be polite. The worst thing you can do is espouse your beliefs and then stiff somebody on a tip. Or the worst thing you can do is talk about how conservatives are inherently more happy than liberals, and that's true. With the data, beyond any shadow of a doubt. but then be a miserable jackass all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be someone, if you want people to come to your point of view, you have to be someone who magnetizes people to that point of view. Mm-hmm. You don't want to repel folks. So I think that's a good point. The day-to-day makes a big change.
Yeah, and if you're down, usually if you're down about some particular topic, it's easy to think that maybe thinking about that topic a little more will give you some insight that will make it all better. But a lot of times it does help just to do something else.
Yeah.
Get a hobby. Or think about something else. Stuff. Yeah.
That's
or
what
yeah.
I do.
Go outside.
Go outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a walk.
Yeah.
And read a book.
Yeah.
It can be good to be aware of the source of your unhappiness because sometimes there's a specific problem. And it's really easy just to think about that, oh, I wish this were different or whatever, without sort of organizing some plan to change things.
Right.
And so if it does have a specific source, that's one thing. Hmm. I think it's another thing if you just sort of feel down and you don't know why. Hmm. That's when stuff like, for me, working out, if I just feel down and I don't know why, then a lot of times I just need to exert myself. It may be almost more physical in nature, you know, just break that pattern.
Yeah, I get my wife will get upset with me if I'm not training in some capacity or, you know, whether it's like when we couldn't do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from COVID, she's like, God, I can't wait for this to be over.
You need to get some energy out.
And it wasn't being depressed. I was just like,
Yeah.
I want to hit it. She'd be like, you want to hit it? I'm like, not sexually. I just want to hit something. No, Does that work for you? She's like, no, it doesn't. Okay, well, then I didn't mean sexually. I think it's... And obviously, there can be a chemical imbalance with certain people.
Sure.
People have proclivities toward depression. But it's just like anything else. Do all of the things right that you can first. I can't tell you how often people come in... I mean, it doesn't matter what it could be. It could be we'll get questions on life advice. It's like, I just don't feel well or I don't have really good energy. It's like, okay, what's your diet like? What's your exercise like? Mm-hmm. Fix your diet, fix your exercise first before you go in for a physical and start taking a pill, right? Fix all of those things. Then you can't know what kind of hereditary condition you may have until you've done all of the right things and eliminated those variables, the same thing as it deals with mental health. And I think that's really a lost component when people talk about mental health. And I just watched this documentary recently from Phelps on the Olympics and how many of these Olympians attempted suicide. And it's because all of your focus is on one thing. Think about that. For 4 years, for basically some of these events are 6 seconds in time, right? And that determines your life.
Yeah.
And you're in debt from it. And then they just sort of discard you at the end of a conveyor belt.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. It's hard for a lot of these people. It's hard for a lot of professional athletes. And I think a big part of that, but what they don't talk about in this document, they talk about mental health and seeking help. It's not that your life doesn't have balance, though that is a component, right? That you're just focusing on the sport. But a big part of it is everyone around you in your life kind of has to exist to serve you. It's a non-starter conversation if it involves taking you away from self-focus. And I think you can talk with people, you can find the source of why you're upset, but a big portion of it is just not thinking about other people sometimes. When people are entirely internally focused, and that's what we have with society, right? You're perfect the way you are. You are all you need. Yeah. No, you are not. You are flawed. Even if you dig really, really deep in yourself, at some point, usually sooner than you think, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
As a Christian, I believe that obviously God is very important. We all have a God-shaped hole. But even from a purely pragmatic standpoint, think routine, okay? Gratitude and finding out how you can serve others will make you feel better and it will make you more productive.
And I think a lot of people are feeling some of that now because COVID has basically isolated us from each other. And I think that usually in, you know, thinking about how to be grateful for people or being in social situations, recognize that that probably is playing a role right now. If you feel a weird dip in the last few months, it makes sense.
Yeah,
there's a logic to it, and finding ways to find allies, even if it is over online or being able to invite people over or go to other people's houses that are okay with that. And I think there is a reason sometimes where you might.
Well, I don't know if it was I don't have a source in front of me. We just had this article. If I could go back to my computer, but I can't. I don't know if it was the head of the CDC or which health organization it was, or if it was an independent study where they said that we have had more substance abuse cases and suicides and attempted suicides now than in the entire previous year, and that the suicides and substance related deaths are higher than COVID deaths now because they've skyrocketed. Because you've taken people, this really isn't conspiratorial when you think about it. One of the top causes, if not number one, right, for suicide is often what? Divorce or losing a job.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, not often a death in the family. That doesn't rank as high in the list. Divorce, because it's kind of a loss, like a death that you never really get to mourn, and losing a job, particularly with middle-aged men. So you've taken that with no promise of getting a job back, and you've removed human contact, and then you've added an extra dose of fear, and you've stirred this concoction in your cauldron all because of this November election coming up, and you go, here, America, and you wonder why people, why crime is up, why suicide is up, why substance abuse is up. So I understand it. A lot of people out there are craving that contact, and I wish that churches weren't so cowardly. I wish that churches, if any place should be some place where people can find some refuge right now, if they can protest out in the streets, and if they can burn cop precincts and tip over cop cars, you should be able to go into a church where they stagger the rows, stagger the pews.
Stephen, I mean, we know that all these protesters and looters and rioters are keeping 6 feet away, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I, it's mostly I peaceful. Saw that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you could rob a Tesla 6 feet away.
I mean, the door's only 4 feet wide. Literally, everyone's running through the same
thing. Elon Musk wants, why does Elon Musk have to be so minimalist? Damn it. Well, I guess let's move on down to the Microsoft store. It's French sliding doors. Shit! So hopefully that does help. And Justin, thank you for watching. Hey, you shouldn't be watching this show because you're young and black, so that's not supposed to happen.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, you're not black.
Joe Biden sent us a letter. He said Justin should not be watching the show.
Yeah, he also said Justin smokes crack.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He did say that.
Something about throwing him in a koi pond? I don't know what Joe Biden, what his obsession is. You're getting Mao wrong, Joe Biden. I never thought I would stop tarnishing the good name of Mao. We're going to continue with this Ash Wednesday. Again, go to louderwithcredit.com/ask and for now, you know what? Actually, before we go, because I do have a question. What do you do to cheer yourselves up? You know, we have a kid here watching, Justin. Everyone out there, maybe you can help give Justin some advice, some support. But for right now, we're going to go to Mug Club exclusive on the Blaze YouTube. You can urinate over there.